that make it all happen down here on the other side of your speakers, and see how you can get more involved in your community radio station. And one more time, that number, I'm going to leave you with it. Join now. Become a member of KBOO today. Call 877-500-5266.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Gravy, with locations in Boise at 3957 North Mississippi Avenue and in Kearns at 3101 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, serving traditional American breakfast and brunch. Both locations are open daily from 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Lunch was provided by Atlas Pizza, located at 3570 Southeast Division Street, open 11:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. or later every day. More information at atlaspizzapdx.com. Dinner was provided by Di Nicola's, located in the Creston Kenilworth neighborhood at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard. Di Nicola's authentic Italian restaurant has been a family-run Portland institution for over 40 years, serving classic Italian cuisine and pizza. Open daily from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. or later. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Greenline, an environmental justice dinner series on Thursday, April 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Abundant Life Church in Portland. Greenline features Amira Streeter, natural resources policy advisor to Governor Brown, and Edward Hill, urban planner and community systems designer. These leaders will discuss pressing environmental issues impacting communities of color and vulnerable communities in Portland and in Greater Oregon. Again, that's Green Line, an environmental justice dinner series on Thursday, April 18th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Abundant Life Church, 3935 North Lombard Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. This is KBOO Portland. It's about 2 minutes after 9 o'clock. My name is John Shuck, and this is The Beloved Community. It's a live program in which we explore issues of spirituality, social justice, and all kinds of other things, things that I hope matter. And I have a guest who matters. He's written a number of books, three of which will be available as due to his generosity as gift, thank you gifts for those who contribute to our pledge drive this morning. Daniel Kobalik is Senior Associate General Counsel of the United Steelworkers, AFL-CIO. He's worked for the USW, the United Steelworkers, since graduating from Columbia Law School in 1993. And while with the USW, he served as lead counsel on cutting-edge labor law litigation, including the landmark cases of Le Mans Gasket and specialty health care. He's worked on Alien Tort Claims Act cases against Coca-Cola, Drummond, and Occidental Petroleum, cases arising out of egregious human rights abuses in Colombia. The Christian Science Monitor refers to his work defending Colombian unionists under the threat of assassination, recently described Mr. Kovalik as one of the most prominent defenders of Colombian workers in the United States. Mr. Kovalik received the David W. Mills Mentoring Fellowship from the Stanford University School of Law and was the recipient of the Project Censored Award for his article exposing the unprecedented killing of trade unionists in Colombia. He's written extensively on the issue of international human rights and U.S. foreign policy for the Huffington Post and Counterpunch, and has lectured throughout the world on these subjects. The book that he has completed in the fall of 2018 is about Iran and the United States. It's called The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran. And that's the book we're going to mostly focus on today, but he's also generously offered two other books as part of our fund drive as thank you gifts, The Plot to Scapegoat Russia, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Russia, and The Plot to Control the World, How the U.S. Spent Billions to Change the Outcomes of Elections Around the World. Dan Kovalik, I believe I just heard you're in Nicaragua. Welcome to the Beloved Community.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, I am in Managua, Nicaragua.
All right. Well, thank you for taking time to be with us today. The plot to attack Iran, how the CIA and the deep state have conspired to vilify Iran. I read this book and it's like, wow, I had to read it again and again to get the sense of this in terms of just the emotional impact for me, really. Why did you write this book and what do you want to communicate with it?
Well, I, along with a lot of other people, are afraid that Iran is on the short list for the next war that the U.S. wants to wage. John Bolton, who's Donald Trump's national security advisor, has been very open about the fact that he wants to attack Iran. Mike Pompeo, who's Secretary of State, has also made such statements, and as I talk about a lot in the book, and I cite retired Lieutenant Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson for this proposition, a war with Iran would just be absolutely devastating both for Iran and the United States. And so I wrote the book after traveling to Iran, by the way, in 2017, to try to prevent the next war.
Trump, now this is just within the last week, labeled the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, IRGC, as a terrorist organization. You didn't write about this necessarily in the book, but can you talk a little bit about that? What is the IRGC, and what does that mean for Trump to call it a terrorist organization? I mean, is this really a declaration, in a sense, of war on Iran, thinking that we're having this global war on terror, or could it be perceived as such?
So what you're referring to is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, which is the military of Iran since 1979, since Iran had its revolution. And as I note in the book, Nicaragua had its revolution the same year, 1979. Both countries overthrew U.S.-backed dictators that year. And as we know, Iran became an Islamic republic, and they formed the Revolutionary Guard. So it's essentially their military. And yes, to claim that their entire military is a terrorist organization is, in essence, a declaration of war. Of course, it's an ironic claim because whatever you say about Iran and the Revolutionary Guard, they actually do a lot to fight Al-Qaeda and ISIS in the Middle East. They've been very critical in doing so in Syria, for example, and in Iraq. And a lot of, you know, once in a while you see a mainstream source that acknowledges that, but often that's overlooked. People also forget that after 9/11, Iran immediately offered to help the U.S. Fight Al-Qaeda and to take on the Taliban in Afghanistan. And Iran, in fact, did provide such help. So again, there's an irony here to throw around labels like terrorism when referring to Iran, when in fact they've been very willing partners in the fight against terror. And in fact, Iran was very disappointed after offering considerable help after 9/11 for the war on terror. They thought there would be a reboot of U.S.-Iranian relations. And in fact, the opposite happened. You might recall that George Bush would then, after receiving help from Iran, would then label it as part of the axis of evil, this imaginary axis of evil, and really set back Iranian-U.S. relations at that point. And so here we are in 2019, and which, by the way, is the 40th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution against the Shah of Iran, which the U.S. installed. And the U.S. seems very hell-bent on possibly going to war with this country.
Dan Kovalik is my guest, if you're just joining us on the Beloved Community. His book is The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran, and certainly calling people terrorists is a way to vilify them. And it's, as you mentioned, it's a confusion on, it's kind of lumping everyone together. So what role does Islamophobia play in all of this vilification?
Well, I think it plays a lot. I mean, first of all, it obscures the fact that as in Christianity, for example, as in Judaism, there are Muslims and then there's Muslims. There's different type of Muslims.
Right.
There's different type of people who follow that faith. It's a huge faith, again, to lump in Iran, which is a Shia Islamic state, with, for example, Iraq, which is, had been mostly Sunni. Now it is a Shia state after the U.S., of course, invaded in 2003. But to liken them with folks like Osama bin Laden, for example, who follows a very extreme and, in fact, heretical form of Islamicism called Wahhabism, it really obscures the difference between those folks. And in fact, that, again, the truth is that Iran has been the mortal enemy of Wahhabism, of bin Laden, of al-Qaeda for many years, as was Muammar Gaddafi, as was Saddam Hussein. And again, there's a huge irony that while we were attacked by al-Qaeda on 9/11, the countries we ended up targeting after 9/11 have been countries, by and large, that have been against al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And in fact, we've done a lot to empower al-Qaeda. And in the recent article I saw was that our own intelligence estimates believe that al-Qaeda, groups like al-Qaeda and ISIS, are bigger and stronger now than they were before 9/11, and largely because of the U.S. role in the Middle East, because of its partnership with Saudi Arabia, which is the font of terrorism in the Middle East, which played a role in 9/11, as the 9/11 Congressional Commission found. But instead of going after Saudi Arabia, we partnered with them against countries that actually wanted to take al-Qaeda down. It's a very strange and sordid story, which, again, people are intentionally misled about.
You know, when I was this past fall in Iraq for Arba'in, the Shia pilgrimage to the grandson of the Prophet Hussein, and while I was there, I really didn't know about this very much before until, but I learned the story that it is really the Iraqis and led by the fatwa of the al-Salani to actually defeat ISIS. So really, it is on that aspect, and I probably met hundreds of Iranians, also a part of this too, that really the resistance to ISIS and the terrorist group comes from, in a sense, the Shia Islam.
Yes, exactly. Although it's a dispute, again, ironically, which the Western powers, including the U.S. and Great Britain, have really tried to intensify. That is to say that, for many, many years, these Shia Islam and Sunni Islam live, they existed side by side peacefully, and it's actually the Western powers that have tried to play one country off another, one faith against another, one sect against another, to rule the Middle East, and with the result being a lot of the conflicts that we're seeing. We've tended to reap a whirlwind from these types of manipulations abroad, and we're seeing that right now.
I am speaking with Dan Kovalik. He is the author of The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran. And we're going to continue this discussion. This is all part of our fall membership drive. And Dan's staying with me on the line here. And I believe Ani is talking with me, too, about how we can participate in keeping shows like this. Teresa is on the line. Teresa's with me. How we can keep shows like this going. Our phone number is 877-500-KBOO. And this book is, as well as his other two books, are offered as gifts for those who make a contribution. Teresa, tell us a little bit more of what's going on.
Well, actually, Ani has the slip of paper that has the details, so I'll let her do it.
There's a lot going on. And thank you, John, so much. First of all, I want to just mention that there is a very generous, anonymous KABU member who is putting up a $200 match during this program. So that means during this hour, the first $200 in will be doubled. Thank you so much to the anonymous KABU member who has done that this morning. So this is a great time to join KABU. 877-500-5266 is that number, or online at kboo.fm. And excuse me, like you were saying, John, it's true. We do have a copy of The Plot to Scapegoat Russia, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Russia, The Plot to Control the World, and The Plot to Attack Iran. All of these books by Dan Kovalik, who you are listening to this morning on the Beloved Community. Thank you, John, for bringing conversations like this onto the air. And that is really, at essence, what KABU is about, bringing these conversations that are bringing forth neglected perspectives, controversial opinions, and informing the community through many, many lenses. We all have different perspectives, but when we bring them together in this sort of kaleidoscopic view, listeners can get a really amazing 360 picture of the world around them. So that is what we do here at KABU, and right now is the time for listeners to call in with your support at 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. With your contribution this morning, you know, you are doing your part to make the world a better place. It's tangible action, it's quick, it's effective, and it's deceptively simple. Please do make that call right now. That makes such a difference. 877-500-5266.
Thank you, Anna. You know, there are also many ways to take in media, and a lot of it, you know, sounds the same. You know, just a few corporations owning the vast majority of the mainstream media outlets. And so community radio, alternative media and radio is so critically important to be able to provide voices such as Dan Kovalik's and others throughout. And you hear them throughout their public affairs programming here on KBOO. And so now's the time to step up and support your community radio station, and we put the emphasis on your community radio station to make a difference and make a gift to KBOO to make sure that this programming continues and the alternative voices continue. And you can do that by calling 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO. And with a donation of I'm not sure what amount that is to get the thank you gift, probably $60 or something.
That's what I was thinking. I was looking for that information, too.
All right. Well, we could just make that decision.
Let's go ahead and say it's $60.
All right.
I believe you, John.
A $60 donation to KABU. And my guest, Dan Kovalik, has generously given three books as thank you gifts for those who make that donation. And we also have the match, as Ani mentioned.
That's right. And we are looking to raise $800 this morning on the Beloved Community. We are into hour three now of our News and Public Affairs Day special. So again, a great time to join KABU and know that you are casting a vote for public affairs, for informational programming, to let us know that this is the kind of programming that is really hitting home for you, that you appreciate what we do here, what the volunteers bring you, their analysis, their expertise in so many different issues, and their curiosity as well. And that is what brings forth dynamic community radio. And you know that you are doing your part when you become a member by dialing 877-500-5266. With your $5 a month contribution, it adds up to $60 over the course of the year. And you know that you can choose whichever of these three books you would like as a thank you gift when you contribute at that level or more. And also, you'll know that your money is doubled right now because we do have that matching period. So it's a fantastic time to pick up your phone and dial 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
All right, thank you, Ani. We're going to return with you in a little bit here, but I want to come back to Dan Kovalik, and he is the author of the book, the central book that we're talking about today, The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran. And I want to talk with you, Dan, about your trip to Iran in 2017, but before I even do that, give us a 60-second, if you would, soundbite about the book I have not read, but I have, The Plot to Scapegoat Russia, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Russia.
Yeah, well, I wrote that book now almost 2 years ago, and as the name suggests, it really is in response to the so-called Russiagate scandal, and my belief, I think it's backed up by facts and history, that Russia is not the U.S.'s enemy, and that Russia, in fact, very much like Iran, has extended the offer to the U.S., again, including after 9/11. Vladimir Putin was the first world leader to call George W. Bush to offer condolences, to offer with help in Afghanistan. And in fact, he did offer that help. And as you can imagine, Russia had a lot of assets in Afghanistan because of the long Afghan war. And again, Putin helped the U.S. considerably in the war on terror. And again, and then was sad to then learn that the U.S. would not reciprocate, and that in fact it now has NATO troops up to the Russian frontier, and we're now in a state where we're looking at possible conflict with Russia now, and with Trump backing out of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Missile Treaty of 1987. We're in a very dangerous moment with Russia. And again, as I argue vociferously in the book, we're at a we have tensions that are not necessary, don't have to be there with a country that wants to be our friend.
Well, and this whole thing about the Russiagate was that Putin and Trump were like together, but Trump has been very aggressive against Russia. I mean, that doesn't even make sense.
Well, that is the irony, isn't it? And that's something that the pundits really can't explain to you, that Trump has imposed sanctions against Russia, again, has actually increased the NATO presence in Europe on the borders of Russia, has backed out of this long-standing nuclear missile deal. Yeah, for a guy who's supposed to be in cahoots with Putin and Russia, he is quite aggressive against them. Now, of course, you know, part of what I think happened, and I think it was a horrible mistake, and other people like Stephen F. Cohen have talked about this. I mean, that the Russiagate scandal in many ways probably pushed Trump to be more aggressive against Russia than he otherwise would have wanted to, and I think that that's tragedy. I think that, again, there's a lot of common ground we have with Russia, and it's a shame that this Russiagate, which has turned out, in my view, to be a nothing burger, has really changed the relationship between those two countries.
I'm speaking with Dan Kovalik on The Beloved Community, author of a number of books. We're talking chiefly about The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran. And you went to Iran in July 2017. You write about that in your book. Basically, here my question is, did you have some misconceptions about Iran that were overturned by your visit? Or maybe talk about some of those misconceptions that American people have about Iran.
Well, I think, first of all, people might think that, you know, that women, for example, are walking around with long black robes and burqas that cover their face, and it's not true. Largely speaking, women have very light head covering and wear very modern clothes and actually are very well represented in every sector of Iranian society, in politics and in the economy. In many ways, Iran is very advanced when compared to its neighbors in terms of women's rights. And it's a very modern country in many ways. Again, it is not, doesn't have this feel of some type of theocratic dictatorship. it's a beautiful country, and the irony is that people are very friendly to you, especially when they find out you're an American. Iranians love Americans, and they love to speak English to you. Most Iranians speak some level of English. Almost all the signs are in both Farsi and English. It's a very hospitable place, and you don't have a sense of a country that bears ill will towards certainly the American people. They certainly have some serious grievances against the U.S. government, and quite legitimate grievances.
So why, big question here, why does the United States want to target Iran? I mean, is Iran really a threat to the United States? When you look at the military bases, I mean, Americans surround, military bases surrounding Iran, but I don't see many Iranian military bases surrounding the United States.
Yes, well, and that's true of Russia as well, of course. You can say the very same thing. Yeah, no, Iran obviously is not a threat to the United States. Again, it is offered and has provided help in very important efforts of the U.S. In the Middle East to fight terrorism. It's a country that wants friendship. In fact, again, after 9/11 and after Iran helped with the war on terror, we know that there was a fax sent from the Iranian government to the U.S. State Department with a proposal, very broad proposal, in which Iran put every issue the U.S. had of concern on the table, said they wanted to negotiate these things and have a reset of relationship. And that fax was ignored. And again, Bush then gave his Axis of Evil speech and really set back not only, by the way, Iranian-U.S. relations, but also set back reforms in Iran because the hardliners became preeminent after that Axis of Evil speech. And so, again, there have been many lost opportunities with Iran. Why the U.S. targets it? The main reason, and the main reason it targets Nicaragua to this day, is that both overthrew U.S.-backed dictatorships. And that is an unforgivable sin as far as the U.S. government is concerned, and Iran has not been forgiven for that.
Well, let's go back to that. And one of the big years in the United States-Iran relations was in 1953. Can you give us a brief overview of what happened?
Yeah, so in the early 1950s, Iran was actually moving towards a more democratic society. They had a parliament, which they still do, by the way. The parliament existed before the 50s and exists today, but it's had various levels of autonomy and power. In the early 50s, they were really becoming a parliamentary democracy. And they had a strong and popular prime minister, popularly elected, named Mohammad Mossadegh, who, because his parliament wanted it, and he wanted it, and the people wanted it, nationalized Iran's own oil fields, which up to that point had been controlled by the British. And almost all the profits from Iran's oil were going to the British, while about 90% of the population was living in misery. Obviously, this was unacceptable. And Mossadegh nationalized Iran's own oil and offered compensation. But that was not enough. And so Britain first wanted to overthrow Mossadegh, but didn't have the power at that point and didn't have the assets in Iran because a lot of their folks were thrown out by Mossadegh. And so Britain came to the U.S. and asked them to help overthrow this democratically elected prime minister. And that's what happened. The U.S. supported a coup against Mossadegh. They installed the Shah of Iran, who was a monarch, who at that point was really being sidelined. His days were over as the reigning monarch because of the parliamentary democracy. The U.S., ironically, in the name of democracy, reinstalled the king as the premier leader of the country, overthrew Mossadegh, helped create something called the SAVAK, which was the Iranian Security apparatus which had its tentacles throughout society. It was very much like the Stasi in East Germany. And it ruled through terror, and it ruled through torture. And in fact, in 1977, a couple of years before the revolution, Amnesty International concluded that U.S.-backed Iran had the very worst human rights record on Earth. And so this is really the font of Iran's grievance with the U.S., that we interfered in their democratic development, in their economic development, with their cultural development. And then when they had a popular revolution in 1979, the U.S. moved very quickly to undermine Iran, to support Saddam Hussein in attacking Iran. This led to the 8 years war between Iran and Iraq, in which a million people died, in which, with U.S. help, Iraq used chemical weapons against the Iranian people and against his own people, particularly the Kurds. And by the way, Iran never retaliated in kind.
Yeah.
The Ayatollah Khomeini issued a fatwa saying that chemical weapons and nuclear weapons are against Islam.
I'm going to get back to you and talk. Yeah, I'm going to get back to you and talk about both of those things. I want to focus a little bit right away when we get back on the Islamic Revolution of 1979. I'm speaking with Dan Kovalik. He's the author of the book we're talking about right now, The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran. And this is our pledge drive, our spring fund drive, in which we are inviting people to step up and stand up for alternative media, particularly the alternative media of the 51-year-old KBOO. And Ani is with me to show us how this can be done.
Absolutely, John. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Likewise.
And it's always good to talk to our listeners and explain to them that you, dear listener, are an important part of KBOO. It is because community radio, it's not a spectator sport, right? It takes your contributions to keep us going. You actually allow and demand our independence. So please call 877-500-5266 this morning and join KBOO or renew your membership to KBOO today. There is that $200 matching grant right now, so your money is doubled when you dial 877-500-5266. That's right. It is the first $200 into the beloved community gets matched. So please do respond to that generous donor and say, yeah, you appreciate that kind of encouragement. It makes sense to you and it makes sense to us. So please do call right now with your support. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. And you are listening to this fantastic interview that John is having this morning with Dan Kovalik, and they are talking about the that revolution in Iran and Iraq and the Iran-Iraq war. This is important history, right? And this is history that we get, let's just say it's a little twisted when we look at it in the mainstream media. We forget a lot about the actual things that happened and the events that led up to it, right? This community radio, independent media, is there to dig deep behind those headlines, to actually get us the history that is real, and to have us actually remember what has come before today. This society is really suffering from a lack of historicism, right? We have this, like, things just happen out of the blue. But in fact, there is a very long history of imperialism and global manipulation of powers that come from the U.S. And this is a show that really highlights that history and digs deep again to make sure that we understand truly how realpolitik works, right? And this is the station that brings this knowledge every weekday through many different perspectives of our independent producers, and that's why it's so very important. Please understand your role in this picture as the independent supporter that allows this exchange of ideas to take place. In fact, you demand this exchange of ideas. That's why you tune into KABU, and that's why right now you're going to support it by calling 877-500-5266 with your contribution of $60 or more. We would love to give you a copy of this book, The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran. There is also The Plot to Control the World and The Plot to Scapegoat Russia. You can take your choice of those books with your contribution of $60 or more. Please do call right now with that show of support. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. You can also come in to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue and become a member in person, pay your pledge in person, and take a tour of the studio. See how the magic actually happens here on the other side of your speaker, and know that your dollars are making it happen. Your dollars make it real. 877-500-5266 is the number to call, though. That's easier for many people to do here first thing in the morning. You just have to take a couple of moments with a phone answer and volunteer and let us know who you are and how much you'd like to contribute to KABU. And then again, if you contribute at that $60 level or more, we would love to thank you with your choice of these books by Dan Kovalik. You're listening to the interview. You know this information is important. And it's, I got to say, when you have information like this, it's very handy to have the book to back it up so that while you have your discussion with your coworkers later on, you can say, oh, yeah, well, here, look, check it out. On page 37, it says, you know, because that's the kind of information this is, right, John?
That's right.
It's that, you know, it's obviously in that category of controversial. It goes against the grain. and that's what we do here a lot at KABU. We go against the grain because, well, we want truth and we want relevancy. And that is those aren't really values of mainstream media, right? So that's why independent media is so very important. It keeps us informed. It keeps us together.
And, you know, you can take your choice of plots, the plot to attack Iran, the plot to scapegoat Russia, or the plot to control the world. And all of these plots don't happen without media collusion.
Absolutely.
And there's a great deal of media collusion, and we kind of deceive ourselves that somehow the media just gives us the true stuff. But we have to dig deeper, and KBOO is for people who are willing to dig deeper, to take the red pill, as Neo would say, and to go and to look into things that you're not supposed to look at. And that's what Dan Kovalik is doing, and as well as the rest of this important programming on KBOO. So, yeah, do give us a call at 877-500-5266, 877-500-KBOO, and make your donation right now to support this program and all of the other programs on KBOO, including our music programs that bring you alternative music as well, as opposed to the 600-song playlist that many stations have.
Absolutely. Please do give us a call right now, 877-500-5266, or online, kboo.fm. It is an important and powerful thing to do, and you'll hear the radio different the next time you tune on. After you become a KABU member, it sounds a little different. It's like, wow, that's my station. Literally, that's my station. I am one of the supporters. I am one of the sponsors of that station. And it's a sense of pride that I know I got when I first became a KABU member many years ago. It's true for me. It's true for so many people I talk with. Please do notice that difference yourself. 877-500-5266. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ani. Dan Kovalik, author of The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran. So let's go back to 1979. I was in high school during the Islamic Revolution, watching Ted Koppel every night regarding the hostages. So did American media tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth regarding what was happening there and then?
No, not at all. And in fact, you know, for the American people, the Islamic Revolution came as a shock. And why? Because they had no understanding of who the Shah was at that time, who was in power, and the fact the U.S. installed the Shah. They had no idea about his brutality. They have no idea about it, you know, to this day, for the most part. And so they didn't understand why the Iranian people overthrew the Shah. They didn't understand why the Iranian people, or some Iranian people in the Iranian government, expressed antipathy towards the U.S. at that time. And they did so because the U.S. backed the Shah unto the bitter end, even as it was pretty clear he was going to be toppled. The U.S. continued to support him and his military in attacking the people. And what they also didn't understand is why the hostage crisis began, and that was in reaction to the fact that not only did the U.S. and Jimmy Carter back the Shah until the 11th hour, but even after the revolution, Jimmy Carter invited the Shah to live in the United States. And the Iranian people, the last time that the Shah had left Iran for the United States, he was brought back, he was brought into power by the U.S., and that was in 1953. They feared the same thing was going to happen again, and that is why they took the hostages. Interestingly, they let go every person of color who were amongst the hostages and the women. And at first, by the way, it was hostage taking was done really spontaneously by a group of students, though ultimately the Iranian government did support that. But the other fascinating aspect of it was that in the last months, the true captor of those hostages was not the Ayatollah Khomeini or Iranian students. It was Ronald Reagan, who we know went behind Jimmy Carter's back in order to try to win the 1976 election and used old assets that the CIA had under the Shah to make contact with the hostage takers. And they made a deal for the hostages to be kept through the 1976 election so that Carter would lose that election. And you may recall, and I recall it very...
You mean the 1980 election?
I'm a bit young. But, I'm sorry, the 1980 election, you're right. I remember quite vividly, because I was young, and I was 12 years old, but I remember vividly that the hostages were released within minutes of Ronald Reagan's inauguration in January of 1981. And at the time, you know, it was portrayed, oh, this is, you know, Reagan's magic. Look at this. He hasn't been president but for a few minutes and the hostages are released. Well, it turned out, no, that he was part of keeping them held hostage so that he could prevail in the 1980 election. And again, the irony there, you talk about election meddling. How can you conceive of a worse and more reprehensible way to win an election than to have your own citizens kept in captivity longer to embarrass the current standing president at that time, Jimmy Carter?
I'm speaking with Dan Kovalik. He's the author of The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran. Of course, one of the big bugaboos is about Iran developing nuclear weapons. And when I was there, and you mentioned it too in your book, I saw also affirm that Islamic law really forbids weapons of mass destruction. You mentioned the chemical weapons as well as nuclear weapons. Is there a reason not to trust Iran's leadership regarding nuclear weapons?
Well, there isn't a reason to distrust them. And frankly, our own intelligence estimates concluded, I think, back in 2003, that Iran, even whether it ever wanted nuclear weapons, that it had abandoned any of those hopes back in 2003. And again, the UN has certified that Iran is not trying to develop nuclear weapons. And so that just seems to be a red herring, and also particularly because, by the way, of course, the one country in the Middle East that does have nuclear weapons is Israel, and it may have 100 of them or 200. We don't even know, but we know they do have nuclear weapons. which makes them pretty, you know, bulletproof in terms of any war in the Middle East. Meanwhile, Iran has none. And so this fear of Iran and nuclear weapons, it's not real. It's made up, and it's not even a real fear.
You mentioned Israel. Some have suggested that much of the U.S. involvement in the Middle East, Iraq, Syria, Iran, is on behalf of Israel, that the U.S. is destabilizing the Middle East on behalf of Israel for its expansion and hegemony. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it is certainly a major consideration, absolutely. And we see in Syria, of course, that Donald Trump has recognized Israel's claim to the Golan Heights, even though the UN does not recognize that. Syria does not recognize it. Clearly, the U.S., their main focus in the Middle East is to not only support Israel, but as you say, to help it expand beyond the borders it even has now. And of course, we see what's happening in Palestine, with Israel continuing to take more and more land there and leaving very little left for the Palestinian people, and all of that being done with the support of the United States. And yes, so Israel is a huge motivation for the U.S. relations. And again, when you talk about meddling in U.S. politics, I mean, there's no country that has more sway over U.S. politics than Israel, through AIPAC, for example. And you see, after every election, every midterm election, the scores of U.S. Congress people being flown to Israel in order to get their support for Israel. So, you know, that is something we need to take a look at. And yes, obviously that's a main concern. The other concern, of course, is the U.S. wanting control over the Middle East resources, the oil, which has always been a motivation for the United States.
Dan Kovalik, my guest, author of The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran. Also, The Plot to Scapegoat Russia, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Russia. And he talked about that a little bit with Russiagate. The third book I also want to mention here is The Plot to Control the World, How the U.S. Spent Billions to Change the Outcomes of Elections Around the World. And, of course, you yourself, certainly in Central America, know a lot about this. Can you tell us a little bit about that book?
Yeah, well, yes, and that was written, again, in response a lot to this concern about alleged Russian meddling in the U.S. elections. And as I argue in the book, even if we took everything as true that's being claimed about Russia, it pales in comparison to how the U.S. has meddled in other countries' elections and democratic institutions. Indeed, there's a recent Oxford University study that shows that the U.S. has meddled in at least 81 different elections since World War II.
81.
And that doesn't even count the coup d'etats and the forced overthrows that the U.S. has sponsored since that time. So it's really incredible. And interestingly, and as the book details, it's not just adversary countries that the U.S. has done that to. It's done it in Israel. It's done it in Italy. It's done it in Greece. It's done it in Japan. The U.S. Really allows very few countries in the world to operate and function politically without our interference.
And tell me about, in the beginning of your book, you talk about some of your sources. This is back to the Iran book, are recently declassified documents. What are these documents, and what did you find in them?
Yeah, well, in the Iran book, I do rely heavily on declassified documents that the CIA recently declassified, which focus in particular on the CIA's efforts to overthrow Mossadegh in the years 1952 to 53. These are documents that, first of all, the CIA claimed didn't exist to claim that they were destroyed at some point, which ended up not being true, and they released them, and they show really the cynicism of the U.S. in intervening in Iran. While it publicly claimed it was there to fight communism, you know, to fight a communist threat that did not exist in Iran, and while it claimed it was there to promote democracy, in fact, it was doing just the opposite, promoting a monarchy. And when you look at the documents and you look at the conversations that the actors are having with each other, those people involved in the coup, you see how cynical they are. You also see the methods they use, and Iran was the first CIA coup, and you see the methods used then are the same methods that the U.S. uses now to overthrow a foreign government. Economic strangulation, supporting violent protests, even paying violent protesters to create chaos, politically isolating the country, vilifying the leader many times based on misinformation. All these things were used to overthrow Mossadegh, and all those things are used in the U.S.'s campaign now against Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to...
Daniel Ortega here in
Nicaragua.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to come back. We're going to come back with a wrap-up and a final question with Dan Kovalik, author of The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran, and this interesting program you don't necessarily hear on the mainstream media, including National Petroleum Radio, but we do hear it here on KBOO, and Ani is with me to talk about why KBOO is so important and why we need to contribute right now.
Absolutely. I mean, because you are hearing this conversation, this is a great reason to contribute to KBOO Community Radio. And again, that number is 877-500-5266. Because you don't often get a chance to be a part of a conversation or to engage, to hear a conversation at this level about U.S. imperialism, about the manipulation of other governments and other countries to secure U.S. economic interests. Those words are kind of forbidden in the mainstream, right? It's not a situation that that the people in charge, the elite, the status quo, doesn't want this kind of information out there because it rocks the boat. Because when people live fully informed lives, we can actually say, whoa, this is not okay with me. Not in my name do these imperialist wars happen. And then we can actually take some kind of action to try to fix that situation, to mitigate the harm. Because we know, we've seen the pattern around the world, you've heard about the history, and now talking about Venezuela, the current and the future, we see the trend, right? And you don't have to really do too much work to read between those lines, but you do need to avail yourself of this information. And KBOO Community Radio is, in fact, one of the independent media resources where you can get this information. So please do support KBOO, which supports all communities, 877-500-5266 is the number to call. And again, when you contribute $60 or more, we would love to thank you with a copy of one of Dan Kovalik's books, The Plot to Attack Iran, The Plot to Control the World, or The Plot to Scapegoat Russia. Any of those three books, your choice. When you contribute $60 or more, we would love to thank you with a copy of one of those books so that you can share this information further in your community. This is a matching period. We do have a matching grant for $200 during this show, so the first $200 in will be matched. And an $800 goal overall for this hour. So please do help us stay strong together and keep us going on our News and Public Affairs Day. Call 877-500-5266. Or online, you can contribute at kboo.fm. I want to thank Allie and Tim and Joseph and Edie.
Yeah.
All these folks have called in this morning to say yes to community radio, yes to the beloved community, and yes to News and Public Affairs Day, celebrating informational programming so that we can, in fact, make sense of this world on fire and do our part to try to turn it around and make it better for ourselves and the next generation and the generations after that. In fact, to try to just make sure there is a world is a good place to
exactly.
start, right?
Yeah, I think of my little granddaughter Pippa, who's 2 years old. What the world's going to be like when she's my age,
right?
You know, and there, what more important question is there than something like that? And we think about the, as I'm talking with Dan here, about the just the heavy propaganda, this constant vilifying, this constant narrative painting. That kind of just puts us into a lull of illusion and delusion. And it really takes brave, courageous people, and I'm going to say, like KBOO listeners, to be able to, counter this narrative. And it's an uphill battle. It's pushing water uphill, but it needs to be done. And thankfully, we're not alone on that. There are many more people out there who want to search for the truth and for justice than we may think. And time to kind of step up and own it for yourself.
Yes.
And then other people come along.
Absolutely. And that number to call is 877-500-5266, because, in fact, we do have to do this for ourselves. We have to support what we believe in. We have to back independent media, because that is where we can rely on tuning in and hearing the truth from so many perspectives. People that are passionate about this world that we live in and who want to make sure that it's better for the next generation, for our kids, for our grandkids, and for their grandkids, too. We want to make sure that we are speaking out against atrocities, that we are speaking out against imperialist war, that we are speaking out against corruption. And these are the things that we do together as independent media producers with you, our independent media listeners and sponsors. So please do be a sponsor of independent media. Ensure our independence with your strength and support. Call us at 877-500-5266 with your contribution of just $5 a month. Know that you are doing a tremendous amount to safeguard independent media and to strengthen KBOO Community Radio. $5 a month is a wonderful way to become a sustaining member, and know that we would love to thank you with a copy, your choice, of one of these books by Dan Kovalik. You're listening to the interview this morning, and again, that number to call is 877-500-5266.
Thank you, Ani. Speaking with Dan Kovalik, he is actually in Managua, Nicaragua right now. Dan, we just got about 2 minutes left, so I want to wrap us up here with what's most important here. Are we closer now to a war really with Iran than when you published your book in 2018? And what do you hope American people will do?
Yeah, I think we are closer to a war with Iran. We've been hearing more and more whisperings about a possible attack on Iran, and people need to resist it. As Lieutenant Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, who helped lie us into the war in Iraq, and he's admitted this and he feels bad about it, as he has warned us, a war in Iran would be 10 times more costly than the war with Iraq in terms of blood and treasure. So you're talking about millions of deaths, trillions of dollars. It's a war that we have to stop, we have to prevent. And what people need to do is rebuild the peace movement. You know, we've had such a long history of peace movements, marches, rallies, which we haven't seen really since the run-up to the war with Iraq in 2003. And folks need to activate the peace movement again. They need to realize that all the money, billions and billions, trillions of dollars we spend on these wars, every dollar of that is a dollar that doesn't go to health care, that doesn't go to alleviate poverty, that doesn't go to repair our bridges and roads in this country. They have to realize, if they care about the environment, the U.S. military creates more CO2 than any single country on earth. Think about that. We need to realize that the font of many of our problems in this country, including, frankly, our spiritual shortcomings, are because we are a country eternally at war. We are the only empire that has ever existed. We're the biggest empire that's ever existed, but the only empire that has ever existed that won't admit to itself it's an empire.
Wow. Dan, we're gonna have to... Yeah, we're going to have to end it right there. Dan Kovalik, my guest, author of The Plot to Attack Iran, How the CIA and the Deep State Have Conspired to Vilify Iran. Check out Dan. Dan, do you have a website?
I don't, but you can find me on Counterpunch. And again, the best way to learn about me is to read my books. And I have a new one on Venezuela coming out.
All right.
Also, and it's, of course, The Plot to Overthrow Venezuela.
All right. Looking forward to that. All right. Thank you, Dan. Thank you for participating with us during our fun drive. By the way, we've got about 1 minute left to contribute. 877-500-5266. 877-500-KBOO. I'm John Schuck. This is The Beloved Community every second Friday at 9 a.m. Good day. Be well.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Dark Side Cinema, open every night and featuring independent foreign and art house films. The Dark Side is located at 215 Southwest 4th Street between Madison and Jefferson Avenues in Corvallis, Oregon. More information and showtimes available online at darksidecinema.com.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Gravy, with locations in Boise at 3957 North Mississippi Avenue and in Kearns at 3101 Northeast Sandy Boulevard. Serving traditional American breakfast and brunch, both locations are open daily from 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Lunch was provided by Atlas Pizza, located at 3570 Southeast Division Street, open 11:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. or later every day. More information at atlaspizzapdx.com. Dinner was provided by Di Nicola's, located in the Creston Kenilworth neighborhood at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard. Di Nicola's authentic Italian restaurant has been a family-run Portland institution for over 40 years, serving classic Italian cuisine and pizza, open daily from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. or later. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of another PDX Music Video Festival and Concert on Saturday, April 13th, from 5 to 10 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Another PDX Music Video Festival and Concert is an all-ages event featuring 90 minutes of music videos from 26 Portland music artists. There will also be live performances by Skulldive, Camp Crush, and Sam Dinsmore. Again, that's another PDX Music Video Festival and Concert on Saturday, April 13th, from 5 to 10 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland.